Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Do you believe that? How many believe that God is with you? Good. So I could sit down and let Brother Dave lead some more songs. Are you all okay with that? No. I could handle it. Now, I'm looking forward to sharing a little bit what God shared with me. Does anybody need a worksheet? Nothing fancy, just something to follow along with. And I won't necessarily be following the thing very religiously, but it's there, and you can fill in the blanks as you feel led and so forth. So recently I was laying awake in bed one night and not sleeping and thinking, you know what? Maybe I struggle with anxiety more than I thought I did. Any of you ever lay awake at night and be thinking about things? And you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it. Huh. Okay. But we all believe that God is with us. Why do we fear? Life in general has a lot of things that we can fear. And those of us here with a second marriage have memories of pains in the past, right? It was really neat to hear George and Susie up here sharing their testimony. That's really lovely. But did you think about it that they might, one or the other, might get to experience it again sometime, the pain they went through? Does that scare you? I hope not, but it could. And there's lots of things in life we could fear. I want to help you choose to trust and to not fear. I'd like to share some practical thoughts, some practices that I've been doing to help with this fear issue. Now, if you hear me say in this sermon that emotional healing can always happen with the flip of a switch, then either I said something wrong or you misunderstood me. Sometimes it does happen with the flip of the switch. And I'll mention to you later, if we get through that far, the one thing that happened for me, it felt like a slight switch being flipped. But it's not always that way. But let's take a look at some of the scriptures we have here. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So when you're fearful, remember, that's not coming from God. That's coming from a power source other than God. Turn with me to Isaiah 64. This year I made a decision to try to have my personal devotional time not be my sermon prep time, and I found out that it still affects the sermons. So anyway, turn with me to Isaiah 64. There's a lot in Isaiah that's really encouraging and comforting. Isaiah 64, verse 8, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." We like the idea of being formed by God, right? Isn't that kind of neat, special, to think about God forming you? Okay. But is it always neat and special and fun when God forms you? Or maybe sometimes he's scraping some mud off. Ouch, that hurt. That wouldn't happen in our lives, would it? And we kind of don't like that. But remember, he's the potter. He knows why he's doing what he's doing. He wants to make you something beautiful. So a little outline here. First of all, I'd like to look at knowing who God is, then knowing what you fear, and then knowing how to handle your fear. Thinking about knowing who God is, I think it's important to know who God is as we think about fear. Do you picture God with a big stick up there ready to whop whenever you mess up? You know what I mean? Just a little bit that feeling, maybe? I hope that changes if that's your picture of God. Yes, God is holy, God is righteous, but we do need to remember he's also God of love. Picture God as an encourager, a protector, a helper, a healer, a provider, a friend. If you can picture God as those things, will that tend to make your fear level go down just a little bit? God's out there. He's rooting for you. He's wanting you to come through in victory. I have in our notes in your outline here that our Heavenly Father is not a fastidious Father. Who can tell me what fastidious means? Okay, I didn't know until about a week ago. You don't know either, Dave? Picky, yes. That's basically what it is. I have my notes here somewhere. Webster says, overly difficult to please or showing or demanding excessive delicacy or care. God isn't that way. Yes, he's holy, he's righteous, but he's not extra picky. He gives us the ability to do what we need to do. He's not fastidious. And so I might not measure up to his expectations. Does that ever a fear of yours, that you're not going to be quite good enough to suit God? Question, who of you is good enough to please God? No, we know that. So let's just get it through our heads that we're not good enough to please God. So there has to be another way besides how good we are, which is trusting Jesus. And as you do that, I think that'll reduce your fear level. Recognize who God is. He is not a fastidious Father. Yes, he is high and holy, but he has ways for us to do that. 1 Peter 1:15, he which hath called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conversation. But Ephesians 2:8-9 says, you're not saved by works, but by grace. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're not good enough for God, so get over that fear. You know that. Sometimes fear is something that we don't know. And you know you're not good enough, just get over that and trust God. Let's go back to Isaiah 40. Thinking about knowing who God is, what does verse 1 say? Comfort ye. Comfort ye. Our God is a God of comfort. You can find that in 2 Corinthians as well. Let's go down to verse 9. I'd like to read verses 9 to 31 in Isaiah 40. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient to burn for burnt offerings. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? We're talking about your God, your Father, the one that loves and cares for you. The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that he should not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as a stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is your God. As you recognize who God is, I think that will give you immense power to have victory over fear. Verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Can you imagine God carrying you around like this? Or maybe if it's raining, just stick it underneath your coat. That's our God. He cares for us. Verse 18 asks the question, who can be compared to a God? Verse 28 talks about him being everlasting. He's the Lord. He's the creator. He doesn't get tired. There's no end to his understanding. We have a wonderful God. Let's trust him. He's powerful, verse 29, and he also gives us power. And then verse 31 we'd like to look at some more later. Isaiah 55 talks about, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't God wonderful? Let's trust him. Now, knowing what you fear, does that sound like a weird question, a weird comment? I think it's important that you learn to know what you fear. I have a little story I'd like to read to you from Paul E. Tan has a book of stories, short stories. It goes like this. As I entered the police station the other evening to pay a parking fine, I noticed an old lady just ahead of me was trembling all over. I paid my $3 fine, and I was about to leave when I saw the lady over in the corner sitting down reading a book at the police station. I said, do you need some help? And she said, no, thank you. You see, I was at home reading a... lost my spot. A mystery story. And I got so scared that I went to the police station to be under their protection while I finished reading my book. You laugh at her. How many of you have been fearful of something you imagined? Good, we got some honest people here. How many of us have been fearful of imagination? Do we have things that we fear that are just made up by Satan? Mystery novels by Satan. Let's study the scriptures. Let's know what's truth. Know who our God is. We don't need to fear. We don't need to fear all the things that Satan makes us think. But they're real. females coming into another marriage. Suppose I'm not good enough. I'm not as good as his first wife. And it could all be imagination, all fearful. Don't need to fear that. Or maybe we men sometimes, are we going to be able to provide as well as what they're hoping for? All kinds of things you could fear about, right? You know what? Just talk with your spouse about it. Ask what her expectations are. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? Be open. And then take that fear thing away. Think about knowing what you fear. I heard this testimony from a minister's wife recently from another state. She said, a lot of my anxiety is a control issue. A lot of my anxiety is a control issue. What do you mean, control issue? The other week, I took my daughter for a driver's test. And so we pulled in and just waited where we were supposed to wait. And then someone else came in that was actually supposed to be tested before us and parked up ahead of us. And so the female hopped out and jumped over to the driver's side, and she was going to be taking the test. And she acted all smiley and happy. And the guy that brought her stood to the side and watched while the police officer had her do her thing. And we were kind of a little bit concerned if she passed or not. And all of a sudden, she got her thing back in the parking lot, and that's what you have to do in PA to pass. And she's ready to pull out, and all of a sudden, instead of in forward, she had it in reverse, and she was up on the curb. Oh, no. Of course, she failed. But the guy was standing there watching the whole time. When it came for my daughter's turn, he said, Dad, you can go inside. I can't do anything. In some ways, that was nicer to go inside and not have to watch. And she did pass, by the way. But control issue. How many things do we want to control that makes us scared? Because we can't control it. There are some things we need to control. God gives us responsibilities for different people. But if it's not your thing to control, don't worry about it. Just let it go. Save you a lot of gray hairs. Or maybe give you some. I'm not sure how you look at it. Keep them from falling out. Control issue. Do the things that we fear, are they really as bad as we think they are? You say not. Well, another story from Paul Tan's book. Here's something that sounds like a joke, but it's actually a tragedy. It happened over in Spain. In Barcelona, a truck was rolling along carrying an empty coffin. A farmer who was hitchhiking thumbed a ride and hopped in the back of the truck and was riding along. After a while, it started to rain. So he examined the coffin, opened the lid, and crawled inside. Stayed nice and dry. He fell asleep. After a while, the truck stops and picks up two more hitchhikers. You're guessing what's happening. They drive along down the road at a fast clip. And after a while, the farmer wakes up, picks up the lid, and says, oh, I guess it stopped raining. And there's two other hitchhikers, while it's driving, jumped off. Sad to say, one of them died. Why? We wouldn't do such a thing, would we? How many times have we jumped in fear because we thought it was really, really bad and it was nothing? Think about it. We tend to think things are worse than they are sometimes. You could do that with relationships. Thinking that my spouse's children just don't like me. Or all kinds of things you could think about. Don't let fear drive you. Talk about it. Say, hey, what can I do to make things go better? And so forth. Open communication can take care of a lot of fear. Things often aren't as bad as what we think they are. In fact, if you go to Isaiah 57, there's another little illustration here of where things aren't as bad as what some people think. Isaiah 57, 1 and 2, the righteous perish and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into the peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. So here they're saying, when people die, some people think, oh, this person died. No, they entered into their rest. They're ready to meet their Savior. So just think about it. There's a lot of times that we're fearful of things when it's not really as bad as we think it's going to be. So say fearing your spouse dying. They get to go to heaven, right? I mean, many of us here have experienced a spouse passing away. It's painful. It hurts. But it's not the end of the world. Right, let's keep our trust in God and so forth. I started preparing this sermon, and then Iran and U.S. started fighting. And we can have all kinds of fears. We don't need to fear. It is sad. It is really sad. But let's trust God. But it gives a different perspective. This past week, neighbor said, yeah, her son's over in Jordan. Their base was hit. Everybody's okay. But, you know, it put fear in her heart. We tried to share with her, trust in God and so forth. But when there's not the commitment to Jesus, it makes it a little bit harder to share that. Actually, our daughter is scheduled to fly through the Middle East on Monday, and we're not sure what's going to happen yet. We're praying about that one. And so another thing we fear is the unknown future. I can tend to fear Sharon going through the Middle East because I don't know what's going to happen. They might try to shoot her plane down with a missile. Don't know. Or maybe they'll reroute it. I'm not sure what's going to happen yet. But thinking about unknown, my brother-in-law preached a sermon recently. He was prompted to preach a sermon about God having no surprise accidents. And he didn't understand why he was supposed to preach a sermon. He thought there were some other things that were more important, but he followed the Spirit's promptings and preached a sermon on God having no accidents. 13 hours later, three young men from their church had an accident, and one man was killed. And then he understood. James 4:14 reminds us to say, Lord willing, we'll do this or that. That's a good thing to remember. But it didn't surprise God. He knows about it. Sometimes fear keeps people awake at night. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Insomnia. Anybody know what that is? Okay. Anybody fear that you're going to get it? Anybody wake up at night and think, suppose I get insomnia and I can't sleep tonight? Suppose I get insomnia and I can't sleep tonight? It keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It's not funny if you're experiencing that. Definition of insomnia is a sleep disorder where you can't go to sleep, you can't stay asleep, you wake up too soon, then you're tired the next day, and the cycle continues on. It's not considered insomnia if you only have a couple months of it. If it has to go on a couple months is what I was told as far as qualifying for insomnia. Sorry, sisters, you're more likely to get it than what men are. That's just the way you're made. And once you're past 40, you might, because of chemical changes, you're more likely to get it yet. And then even genetics can change. Some people are more genetically inclined to get insomnia. Stress will make it worse. Death can make it worse. There's different guidelines as far as when you should give medication if you're experiencing that. And I'm not saying to not take medication, but I do encourage you to talk to somebody before you take medication and pray about it. And I'm not saying it's not a place for medication, but pray about it and say, hey, what can I do? Anyway, how do we take care of insomnia? Different people have different ways of doing it. So one thing we used to do for our children after my first wife passed away was we used to play music all night long. And maybe it's for dad more than the children. Wake up in the middle of the night, hear the music going, a good way of going back to sleep. This past January, I was awake one night, and I quoted 1 Corinthians 13. and prayed and fell asleep, just like that. Felt blessed. It doesn't always work that way, but that's some tips. Music, pray, quote scripture, and so forth. Knowing what we fear, how many of you fear that your spouse will die? A few. Okay. How many will fear that your spouse will die? Is that a valid fear? Many of you know it can happen, right?
It's a reality of life.
Reality of life. Okay. Who do you wish dies first? I don't know if the brother's here that I talked with, I think it was a year or two ago, and he was saying that he hopes, he was a young brother that lost his wife and got married again. He was saying he hoped he never had to go through it again. I said, so you want your wife to die you want to die before your wife? Well, yeah, I guess, because it hurts so much. And I said, do you love your wife? Brother, are you here? Do you want to raise your hand? No, he took it very well. As a reminder that, you know, if I love my spouse, I shouldn't fear that she dies first. I should want her to die first. Maybe that's stretching things. I don't know, but you get the point. Well, I started dating Joelle January of 2020. And about February, maybe the beginning of March, I realized that I actually loved this woman. Kind of a nice feeling. But guess what happened next? Suppose God takes her away. Fear hit. It did. I will be honest. Fear hit. We'll get to that later. The story's not over because we are married. All right. Let's take a look at steps of how to handle fear. Step number one, worry. My worrying was worthwhile because most of the things I worry about never happen. Is that okay to leave that in down? Is step number one? Most of the things I worry about never happen. So must have done some good. No. Don't worry. It's a waste of energy. It takes a lot of energy to do that. Observe God's hand in the past. I lost track of where you're at with the worksheet, but let's go to Isaiah 41. Knowing how to handle fear, observe God's hand in the past. Isaiah 41. Verse 10, fear thou not. And if you would stop right there, fear thou not. And you're struggling with fear, and you're just told that you got to stop fearing. And then you get fearful because, oh, I can't stop fearing. And now I'm really getting in trouble. You know what I mean? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Because we know we're supposed to go to sleep at night and not worry. We know we're not supposed to fear. We know it's wrong to fear. And then we get worried. Well, what's it say here? Let's keep on reading. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we're running out of time here, but we could go down through here and see the different things that God does. Verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water and so forth, there is none, but he says, I will not forsake them. And so as you go through life, look back on the times when God was there, when God helped you. And that'll give you courage for moving forward into the future. Observe how God cared for you during the death of your first spouse. And know that God will give you strength if or when it happens again. How to combat fear? Think about hope. Psalm 43, verse 5. Yes, a question. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? What's going on here? Why are you afraid? Why are you discouraged? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Why are we fearful? Are we afraid the good of the past might be all gone? Are we disquieted? It's good to identify why we're feeling fearful, I think, to be able to move forward. Hope in God. Look at the things he has done. Let's turn to Romans 8. Many of us are familiar with verse 28 about all things working together for good to those that love the Lord. Verse 18 talks about the sufferings of this present time. Verse 22 talks about the whole creation groaning and travailing in pain together. Verse 23, and it's not just them, but it's also us. Maybe we're worrying about what's going to happen in the future and so forth. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So what would happen when you're fearful of something if you would somehow turn that around into a hopeful thought? So if I had a whiteboard up here, I could write down, I'm concerned if Sharon, my daughter, will make it safely home Tuesday because of going through the Middle East. What are some of the fears that could happen as far as that? What could happen to her plane? Could be what? What might happen to her plane?
Could get hit with a missile.
And I could be fearful of that. Okay, now let's turn it around. What would be hopeful about if the airplane was hit with a missile? Where would you expect my daughter would be within 30 seconds? Heaven! Wow, wouldn't that be neat? Well, yes. Not that I'm wishing she would pass away, but there is some hope. Or say when she was going over to her visit, if she would have got stranded or detained or something like that and couldn't go where she wanted to. That was a concern we had because of where she was going. But suppose that would give her opportunity to witness to people she never could have. So when you have something that's causing fear, look at it, evaluate it. Is there some kind of hope in here of how we can change this around and look for hope? Verses 26 and 27, let's read these yet too. And likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the hearts, knoweth. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you're laying in bed worrying about something, or maybe praying about it, think about it that you really don't know the best way to pray for this. But the Spirit is interceding for your prayer. And maybe what you're fearing about would actually be a good thing. And so the Spirit changes your prayer into saying, hey, God, maybe have that plane be shot down. I don't think so. But think about how God could turn things around and actually bring hope out of what you're fearing. Of course, 28, it's amazing what all God can do to bring good out of evil. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can turn so many things into something good. How to combat fear? Gratitude. Give thanks to God. Here's a little quote I saw on my calendar, my desk. The verse was always giving thanks
to God the Father for everything?
No matter the source of the evil confronting you, if you are in God and thereby completely surrounded by Him, you can thank Him for everything that comes your way. He will then make everything a blessing. How to combat fear. I have Isaiah 40, verse 31 down next. So when you come back to this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And my understanding of this word wait is, yes, it could be interpreted wait, but could also be interpreted to bind together, to twist together. Does that change the perspective of waiting on God? So we're going to pretend that this is God, and this one is my life, and this one is the circumstances of my life that I like to worry about, or I like to rejoice in, or all kinds of things. I'm going to ask Joel to help me. And we're going to braid these together. And think about the strength that these ropes will have as we braid this together. Do you want to braid or hold it? You hold it. So there's all kinds of things that we can have. Say the death of your first spouse. You braid that into here. Or maybe the conversion of your first child. A lot of fun, isn't it? Or maybe your wedding of your couple here. Or who else wants to say something that happens in your life? Good or bad, that you'd like to have weaved in with God's plan.
Accident.
Let's put this out here, can't we? You want it to go weaved in? All right. Anything else? We're waiting on God, weaving things in. What else happens in your life? Good or bad?
Death of a son.
How recently?
4 years ago.
4 years ago. Still hurts, doesn't it? What would, should we just stick that out here by itself? You want that weaved into? Okay. I'll agree. I don't know what that's like. Blessings as you grieve that journey. Anyone else?
Death of a daughter.
Death of a daughter. It's painful. It hurts. But let's weave it in. Let's wait on God. This rope was longer than the other day. Any other things? Maybe someone else is being pressed to share.
Twins.
Pardon?
Grandchild twins.
That's neat. My dad's a twin, and he says it gets to be more fun the older he gets. Thank you. But you weave that stuff in there. How quickly will that break? Let's be waiting on God, weaving your life together with Him. When I thought about that, that gives a new perspective to waiting on God. I think worship is a good way to combat fear. I just have down here a course by Tim Hughes. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Can you imagine singing a song like that and being scared at the same time? Think about the greatness of our God, who He is, how He loves, He comforts, He carries. Worship Him. That'll do a lot to take care of your fear. Be obedient. We could look at the story of Peter in Matthew 14. Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water, and he walked in the water. And then he looked at the waves, and he became what?
Fearful.
And he what?
Sank.
So I read that story this past week, or 2 weeks ago, it occurred to me that Jesus calmed the waters immediately after they got back into the boat. Why did Jesus not calm the water 20 seconds sooner before Peter sunk? Couldn't he have done it 20 seconds sooner? Just think, Peter wouldn't have sunk then. Wow. He would have missed a lesson. Yes. And how do you think the relationship between Jesus and Peter was strengthened as Jesus picked Peter up out of the water and said, "Oh, you have little faith. I care for you." That would have never happened had Jesus calmed the water 20 seconds sooner. So don't be fearful of the situations God puts you in. Expect the things that you can learn from it, the way you can grow in the hard times. It's worth it. Adore Him, trust Him. How does confessing, James 5:16, let's turn to that. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I mentioned to you how that about 2 months after Joel and I were dating, that I became fearful. And had I stayed in that state, do you think she would now be my wife? Probably not. In fact, before we, I think it was the day that I asked her, talked to her dad, she was cleaning, and she's just wondering, would this Tim Brenneman ever have the nerve to ask a third wife? And if so, would she feel jinxed? Anyway, that's part of her background. She's my third wife, in case you're wondering. And I feel blessed by her. Where's I going with that? Oh, fear, yes. I was starting to fear that I would lose her. Confess your faults. And so we went to her sister and brother-in-law, and we told them Tim's scared. They had a prayer meeting, and it felt like a light switch turned. Praise the Lord. Confess your faults one another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, I'm not saying that I've never been fearful. I mean, God and her know how to push my buttons. Valentine's of last year, I took her to the ER, and that was a journey in itself. But God is good, and I'm grateful for the power of prayer. Confess your faults. When you're scared, tell somebody. You don't have to fight it yourself. Satan would like you to think that you're all alone in this thing, a wimpy thing of confessing you're scared. Satan thrives in secrecy. God thrives in confession, openness. Say, "Hey, I'm scared. Pray for me." There can be victory. How to combat fear, keep a heavenly vision. And also James talks about saying, "Lord willing," for this and that and so forth. In conclusion, remember, you need to know who God is. Have that deep connection with God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of the understanding. That's the God we serve. Know what you fear. Are you fearing something that's bigger than what God can handle? Or are you just simply fearing imagination? Are you fearing something that Satan wants you to meditate on? Sometimes we fear relationships or fear the death of a loved one. Recognize what you're fearing, that we can talk to God about it. And know how to handle your fear. Take your fears to God and to others. Remember, Satan thrives in secrets. Let others know that you're struggling, and you will find victory. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what?
Much.
Do we believe that? I feel blessed by having people pray for me. And I encourage you, when you're fearful, do the same. Wait on the Lord. Be entwined together with Him. So I trust this weekend you'll find it encouraging. Some of the topics I'm looking forward to hearing. And just Just bring in what God has for you. Receive it, and I expect you'll go home feeling revived and encouraged to live a good, healthy life serving Jesus.